It's a beautiful summer night. And Lord, we're free. We have the freedom to have our Bibles. We have the freedom to worship, lift our hands, sing loud. We have the freedom to gather. And Lord, let us not let a day like this go by without telling you that we're thankful. Lord, we pray for our brothers and sisters throughout the world who have not these freedoms. We pray, Father, for our brothers and sisters giving their blood today in Sudan. We pray, Lord, for our brothers and sisters imprisoned for believing in you in China, throughout the various countries of North Africa. We pray, Lord, for our brothers and sisters in Morocco who are under the threat of death for speaking your name publicly. We pray, Lord, for the 50,000 plus born-again Christians in Iraq who are scarcely beginning to venture out and speak of Jesus from their lips publicly. We pray, Lord God, that you would be with them. We thank, Father, of those believers in the Philippines under the threat, Lord, of radical Islam, sequestering them, putting them down, the violence. We pray, Lord, for the upheaval that's going on right now in Cancun. Lord, as there's the overthrow and things going subversive to the government, we pray, Father, for the move of your Holy Spirit in this world. We pray, Lord, that as you do move, that you would find us like tools, Lord, that our handles would be sticking out of the dirt, that you could grab us and use us for what you want to do. Lord, we would pray tonight, if we're willing or not, we would ask, make us willing. And if we're willing, Lord, let us say tonight, here I am, Lord, send me. Father, we thank you for this evening, and Lord, may you be blessed. May you have already been blessed by the worship. And Lord, may you bless us back now through the word. In Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. Why don't you grab your seats tonight, if you would, and open your Bibles tonight. We are in the book of Proverbs, and as has become now kind of a little custom in the book of Proverbs, because of the nature of the book and the direction the Lord's been leading us, is to have questions and answers at the end of a chapter. We just completed chapter 4 in a two-week study of chapter 4, and I'm going to read it. And I don't want you to be shy tonight, as we've been inviting you to ask questions regarding the chapter. And if you've been coming, we are specifically, and I got to tell you, I didn't plan this book of Proverbs to go in the way that it's been going, but the Lord has apparently led it so, and that is to be very family-centered and very much directed to a mom and a dad or a son and a daughter, and how we ought to grow up and how we ought to be brought up. And so it's been fun. I don't know about you, but I've been having a good time. And we're looking at the wisdom of God. And so let's recap. Let's go together. And then we'll have, and by the way, as we read through here, if something has kind of promoted a question within you, circle the verse. And then come back to that. Ask questions about it. We'll do our best. I'll give you a little bit of a review as we come through here. Proverbs chapter 4. As we review it now, before moving on to chapter 5, Solomon says, "Hear, my children, the instruction of a father, and give attention to no understanding. For I give you good doctrine. Do not forsake my law. When I was my father's son, tender, and the only one in the sight of my mother, he also taught me and said to me, 'Let your heart retain my words. Keep my commands and live. Get wisdom, get understanding. Do not forget nor turn away from the words of my mouth. Do not forsake her, for she will preserve you.'" You ought to mark verse 6. And somebody ought to ask the question, why does now wisdom take on a personal personification as a female, as a female gender? That's kind of neat. "Do not forsake her, for she will preserve you. Love her, and she will keep you. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom. And in all your getting, get understanding. Exalt her, and she will promote you. She will bring you honor when you embrace her. She will place on your head an ornament of grace, A crown of glory she will deliver to you. Now he changes his tune, speaking to his son to avoid company that would lead his son astray. Hear, my son, receive my sayings, and the years of your life will be many. I have taught you in the way of wisdom. I have led you in right paths. When you walk, your steps will not be hindered, and when you run, you will not stumble. Take firm hold of instruction, and do not let go. Keep her, for she is your life. Do not enter the path of the wicked. Do not walk in the way of evil. Avoid it. Do not travel on it. Turn away from it, and pass on. For they do not sleep unless they have done evil, and their sleep is taken away unless they make someone fall. For they eat the bread of wickedness and drink the wine of violence. But the path of the just, like the shining sun that shines ever brighter into the perfect day. The way of the wicked is like darkness. They do not know what makes them stumble. My son, give attention to my word. Incline your ear to my sayings. And do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart. For they are life to you, or to those who find them, and health to all their flesh. Keep your heart with all diligence. Listen, for out of it spring the issues of life. Put away from you the deceitful mouth, and put perverse lips far from you. Let your eyes look straight ahead, and your eyelids look right before you. Ponder the path of your feet, and let all your ways be established. Do not turn to the right or to the left. Remove your foot from evil. The wisdom of God, and we looked in these last 2 weeks, wisdom to live a new life. And in our study together, in chapter 4, you could really sum up chapter 4 by where we left off last week in closing the chapter, was learning to walk in the Spirit. That's what he's talking about his son, and that's how it translates to us today in New Testament times. For us, is to walk in the Spirit. The Bible tells us that if we walk in the flesh, we will reap and live in a path of destruction and a way of death. If we walk in the Spirit, we will reap life everlasting. And so we looked at some scriptures about that. Remember, Paul the Apostle said, for us who are now Christians, and this is amazing to me, nobody had a grip on this like Paul the Apostle. I got to tell you, I've read a lot of books in my life, and I don't think anyone has come close to what Paul understood concerning the grace of God. Remember in the book of Romans when Paul says, reckon the old man to be dead? That's a very familiar teaching of Paul's. Reckon the old man to be dead. Paul wasn't from Texas saying, I reckon the old man to be dead. The word reckon is a New Testament word. It's a Greek word. It's a banking term to tally up all of the data, draw a line, and what you conclude is the bottom line. It's the reality. It's the brass tacks of it all. What is it? It's this. Paul says, reckon the old man to be dead. That's an amazing thing. He also says throughout Scripture, Paul again says, that we need to crucify the old man. And that we are not only dead, but we're to crucify the old man. And the old man is that person that you and I used to be before we came to Christ, how we used to live. We lived for ourselves, self-interest. We did things that was for self, and even though we did maybe philanthropic things, we were very kind. We were Boy Scouts, Eagle Scouts, and we took the little grandma across the street. Why did we do it? Well, that we might gain a badge or some sort of a certificate. That's nice for the old lady, and I guess it's nice for you to get a badge, but the motive is important to God. Even though we might have done good things without being a Christian, and you know, the world does good things without being Christian. You know that. But the motive, God says, is not acceptable to Him. The Lord is to receive all the glory. He's to receive all the honor. When we walk in the Spirit, we give God the glory. We give Him the praise rather than, oh my, look at me. Aren't I something? That's the flesh. And that's walking in the flesh. When we walk in the Spirit, we are like those reflectors we've talked about before, that when something is good done in our lives, what should be the response? That we're simply a reflector of the glory and of the honor that's taking place, that we direct it right unto the Lord. That someone, you know, might come up and say, you know, boy, the Lord really, really blessed my life through you. You know what? You can appear to be deflecting that glory to the Lord, and you're not at all. You ever seen that happen? I saw it on so-called Christian TV not too long ago. The guy was talking about a woman coming up, and she was praising me and praising me, this guy said on Christian TV. And I kept saying to her, I didn't do it. I didn't do that miracle. I didn't, all my years of ministry, you know, there's been a lot of miracles, but I've got to tell you that I didn't do the miracle. And it was kind of like very uncomfortable. I didn't do it, but I did it. Make sure that God gets all the glory, but I'll kind of squeeze it and hold it on its way up to Him. It's very odd. That's walking in the flesh. Paul says, listen, concerning our victory in Christ, we have to reckon the old man to be dead. Solomon is talking to his son, and he's saying, look, there's a way that people are living. I mean, no offense to those on my right side right now. But let's say all of you, there's one way, Solomon says, avoid it. And then there's a path. And then there's the other way. Solomon says, be careful. There's a path that there are many walking on. Avoid that path. And those people, we learned, they will not rest unless they're doing evil. Isn't that weird? They scheme and plan on evil, and the Bible says their sleep is gone from them unless they do evil. They're evil thinkers, evil doers. They revel in evil. Then there's the way of life, or there's the way of the Spirit. And he says, walk in wisdom. And so Solomon is instructing his child, his children, to make the right decisions. And so if we follow God's word, make the right decisions. Well, how do I make the right decision? Follow God's word. Well, if I follow God's word, what's going to happen? You'll make the right decisions. You don't follow God's word, you make wrong decisions. It's just simple as that. We need to incline ourselves to the word of God. And what will happen is this. And this is what Paul had such an amazing grip on. Paul reckoned the old man to be dead. So much so that when Paul said that it is not me now in Romans 7 and Romans 8. Remember Romans 7? Paul says, the things that I do not want to do. Are you familiar with Romans chapter 7? Let me tell you to you anyway. This is so fun. Paul says, those things that I do not want to do. Now as a Christian, I want to walk in the Spirit. Those things I don't want to do, I find myself doing those things. He says, the things that in embarking upon, I say, Lord, good morning. It's a great day, a wonderful Wednesday. Lord, here I go for you. I am going to avoid these things. Halfway through the day, Paul says, I have fallen into three of the five things I've been trying to avoid. And he's frustrated. He gets up in the morning and Paul might say, Lord, I'm going to do these things for you. And he doesn't do those things. He does the things he doesn't want to do. The things that he wants to do for God, he misses those altogether. So in Romans 7, Paul says, those things that I would not are the things I do. The things that I would do are the things that I do not do. And as he comes to the end of Romans 7, he's so frustrated and he says, who shall deliver me from this body of sin and death? Romans 7 is a believer crying out. It's Paul. Romans 8, I thank the Lord. He goes into this tremendous declaration of victory. I thank God through the Lord Jesus Christ that this is the truth. That we now walk in the Spirit. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who walk in the Spirit. What does that mean? Can I act it out for you? It goes like this. Paul could have been getting ready. Let's set a scene perhaps, hypothetically. This is not in the Bible. Paul could have been getting ready to preach at Iconium. He's going to preach. He's ready. He's making his tours and he's preaching the gospel and churches are being started and he's getting ready. There's believers gathered around. They've been out on the streets all day long throughout Iconium preaching and inviting people. Come tonight. The Apostle Paul is going to preach about resurrection and a new life in Christ. That there's a Savior who's risen from the dead and Paul's getting ready and, you know, and they're all praying backstage or out before he comes out to the amphitheater. And as he's praying, Peter walks by, or maybe Silas walks by and trips over Paul's robe and rips it. Paul might have stood up and said, Silas, what's wrong with you? Didn't you see we were praying and you tore my favorite robe? I can't believe it. I've had this robe. My mother made me this robe. Watch where you're going, you clumsy assistant, you helper. You're supposed to be helping me. And then Paul says, as the conviction comes upon him, Silas, wait a minute. Guys, everybody gather around. And Paul would have gathered, as is a biblical law or a rule, let the circle of the confession be within the circle of the sin. If there would have been 10 guys in that prayer meeting when Silas walked by, you know, with he's heading out to the pulpit with a glass of water and trips over Paul's robe. Paul would have gotten those guys together, not the crowd outside gathering. Paul would have gotten them together and said, you know what, guys, did you just see what I just did? Let's make something clear right now. First of all, number one, I ask you to forgive me for my sin in my outburst of wrath that I just laid upon our dear brother Silas. It was wrong of me. It was sin. And here is the truth of the matter. I'm asking the Lord right now to forgive me of that sin, Lord. I agree with you that that was a sinful act of my flesh. And that was the old Saul that used to live every day of my life without interruption. Are you with me on that? Do you understand that? Then he turns to the guys there and said, guys, I ask you for your forgiveness. Okay? And being good brothers, Galatians 6:1, they who are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of grace and meekness, considering yourselves, lest you also be tempted. They would have said, Paul, we know what you mean. But hallelujah, through Jesus Christ, we're more than conquerors. Remember, Paul, you preached that message last week. Yes, praise the Lord. In fact, you know what, you guys? I don't even judge myself anymore. I let the Lord judge me. Here's the truth of the matter. I reckon that old man that just sinned to be dead. He's crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet it's not I, but it's Christ that lives in me. And guys, the life that I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and who died for me, gave himself for me. And so I ask you to forgive me. Lord, I've asked you to forgive me. And I'm going to go out right now, I'm going to preach this gospel, and you guys be praying back here that hundreds might get saved. In Jesus' name, amen. Silas, come over here. Brotherly kiss, and out he goes, and he preaches, and who knows what happens. That is how Paul had an understanding of the grace of God. When we sin, if you hate it, that's a great indicator that you're a believer. Man, Lord, oh, why did I? Oh, I know why I did that. That was the old Jack. Lord, I ask you to forgive me. Take that away, Lord. I ask you to forgive. And Lord, I ask you now to fill me with your Holy Spirit and walk in your power. In Jesus' name, amen. Now watch. You come on out here and you preach and people are saved. You say, well, how can that happen? You just got done sinning. You and John were backstage and you tripped over, or John came by and tripped over your robe, Jack, and tore your robe as John was coming out for the announcements. How can you come? You sinned. Did I want to sin? Did you want to sin the last time you sinned? If you're a believer, the answer is no. Did you hate it? If you're a believer, the answer is yes. Did it frustrate you? Yes. But how long did you let it destroy you? This is where we fail as Christians. Solomon has given his son the instruction to live a strong, healthy life. Jesus teaches us, Paul teaches us, the New Testament teaches us that if we are Christians and we are walking in the Spirit, does it mean we're going to be sinless? No. But does it mean we'll be powerful? Yes. Why? We are walking in the Spirit. And when we fall or when we stumble, the Spirit picks us right back up. Here's what we do, and you've heard me teach this before, but so many of us do this. Rather than considering that sin that we might have tripped up on as something of the old nature of the old Jack or the old Betty or the old Sue, We take what was once our love to go do and our natural act without repentance, without remorse, without confession, without thoughts of God. Now that we are a Christian, when we do sin, what happens? Rather than confess it, 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness, right? What do? We walk around and we flog ourselves for a month because we let God down and I sinned. Look, I can't believe I sinned like that. God says, why? I believe you did. But I made you so many promises. I didn't ask you to make me any promises, God might say. You can't keep one promise you make me. I'm the only promise keeper there is. I kind of sound Jewish. I don't know if that's... God's the promise keeper. When we fall down, we get up and ask the Lord, Lord, and we dialogue with Him. Lord, I did not want to do what just happened. I went on a path that Solomon talked about in chapter 4, and Lord, I looked to the right or I looked to the left, I got off, and Lord, I'm back now, and I'm asking you to forgive me. And so many of you came forward last week to rededicate your lives to the Lord because you got off that path to the left or that path to the right. And you know what? Was the prayer theme of many people that came forward. I can't believe I strayed away like that. I appreciate your repentance and your disgust for straying away. But now that you've come, rejoice. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. And we're going to talk about that tonight because it makes all the difference in the world. Tonight, as we take questions and answers, before we do this, it's extremely important that you listen in light of chapter 4, and brother and sister, where we're going in chapter 5, listen carefully about how we live our Christianity. Oh, I don't intend to get in trouble. I'm sure that I will. I can't think of any time in my Christianity where there has been more seminars, more conferences, more whatever for Christianity to build you up. And all of those things do not come free, by the way. This conference for this, this conference for that. If you went to every conference that came in the mail, you'd never be home. Now, there may be a great conference here or there along the way, but if they're all of God, then and if everybody could go, you'd never be at home. You could never be at church. My point is this. The church has never been more weaker, but we've never had more books and Christian bookstores about how to live the life and less power than we do now. Vance Havner, H-A-V-N-E-R, you ought to buy every book that old man wrote. He's a precious man, Billy Graham. Often quotes of Vance Havner. You ever wonder, well, where did Billy Graham get that? It's Vance Havner. Vance Havner. Vance Havner says, we Christians have more illumination than any of our brothers and sisters before us, but we walk in less light than ever before. We've got the glitz of Vegas, and we've got the light of a flashlight that's wearing out. Why? Because you know what? We're not walking in the Spirit. We don't know what it's like. When was the last time in your Christian terminology you thought, you said, you determined, I'm going to walk in the Spirit? That should be a constant thought in our lives. Listen, for those of us who are Christians, it should even be a constant war in our minds. When the flesh says, hey, come on, let's go this way. The Spirit should fight against that, and we should be debating that thing and dialoguing that thing in our heart. Lord, help me. Now we pray to walk in the Spirit. What does it mean to walk in the Spirit and to live Christianity? It's this. Church, listen. We must understand what the Bible means when it comes to the baptisms in Scripture. The church is ignorant of the baptisms that are spoken of in Scripture. Number one, there's the baptism in water. There's the baptism by the Holy Spirit. There's the baptism of Jesus Christ that we see in Scripture. There's the baptism of judgment spoken of in Scripture. What are we talking about in the context of tonight, living a successful Christian life? Why would we be Christians tonight and struggle so much with sin, struggle so much with weakness, struggle so much with being timid? Timidity, by the way, is a sin. Did you know that? Oh, I'm just timid. That's a sin. Did you know that? The Holy Spirit wants us bold. How does that happen? We need to understand the differences. Tonight, listen, don't raise your hand. Don't raise your hand. But how many of you are Christians? Number two, if you're a Christian tonight, you have been baptized by the Holy Spirit into the body of Christ, okay? Once and for all. Once and for all. Let me give you a scripture on that. For as the body, that's 1 Corinthians 12:12, for as the body is one and has many members, but all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit, capital S, the Holy Spirit is there, we were all baptized into one body. What's the one body? The church, the body of Christ. How? By one Spirit. Whether we be Jews or Greeks, whether we be slaves or free, we have all been made to drink into one Spirit, for in fact the body is not one member, but many. The church is made up of many members, but one body. How? Listen, someone asked me last Sunday. We've been coming, we've decided, this is our church, how do we become members? I don't know if they liked my answer. I said, you become members by, number one, receiving Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Have you done that? Yes, we have. Then attend. That was my answer. Attend. Now, please, I don't mean to offend anyone. And there may be great arguments for why you should have church membership. I'm not knocking that. We don't have church membership. You enjoy that. No one calls you up and says, you know, we've noticed that you've missed 2 months of tithing. We want you to reconsider your commitment to Christ and make sure that you step up. Come on, step up, you know. And by the way, if you're having a hard time, go ahead and give us your account number and we can have it automatically. Did you? Hey, some of you are laughing. Listen, a lot of people in this church, they've come from churches. They know what that's like. It's automatically deducted from their account. You say, well, yeah, Pastor, if we did that, wouldn't we be doing better financially? Probably. But would it be of the Lord? It's not by might nor by power, but by my, saith the Lord. People have been saying, well, you know what? Did you know? And we got a warning, by the way, from Pastor Chuck a while back. Be ready, prepare your church, because it's not far off where we will lose our tax-exempt status from the federal government. We will be pressured in the not-too-distant future to delete certain teachings from the Bible. If we don't, we will lose our tax-exempt status, and you won't get your tax break every April 15th. So, pay down your debt, be lean, be ready. Well, you know what? The real Christians, they're going to tithe if Caesar blesses them with a break or not. The people who are goofy about giving, they're going to, oh man, what? The church lost its taxes. Oh, I got to, you know, where's the United Way? I'll give it to them instead. God's people won't do that. Trust in the Lord to do His work. Now, if we're going to walk in victory, it works this way. Number one, knowing that when you and I said yes to Jesus Christ, you were baptized, listen, by the Holy Spirit. I should have brought a cup of, you know what? Hang on 1 second before I do this. Okay, this is the body of believers, the church. Okay? This is you. This is the church. Okay? And you come in, you sit down, and there's worship going on. And you might even raise your hands. And you're praising the Lord, and you're going, wow! You know what? And then the Bible, you're sitting down, and the Bible's taught, and It's like, this makes sense. Oh my gosh. I need Jesus. I need Jesus as my Lord and Savior. And so, you know, if you want Christ, you stand to your feet. And so you accept Christ, you know, and you're born again. What happens? The moment you and God connect, it happens in seats. It happens up here. It happens in parking lots. It happens at Starbucks. It happens over here, everywhere. It happens in your living room. Happens at your doorstep, right? What happens? Here's the church. Here's the body of Christ. The Holy Spirit takes you. You may feel something or not, honestly. It's not based upon a feeling at all. And what happens is, you go right there. Into the body of Christ. You have been baptized by the Holy Spirit. He places you inside the body of Christ, the church, and that word in the Greek is a singular act. Some of you who struggle with your salvation, you need not worry. The Holy Spirit is faithful. He puts you in the body of Christ. He's not going to take you out. Aren't you glad? He puts you in the body of Christ never to remove you. The burden is upon you, though, to find out if you're born again rather than playing games with God. But if you want to be serious with God, He places you in the body of Christ. Once and for all. Okay? That's what the Holy Spirit does. Then there's this. The Bible tells us that Jesus baptizes us with the Holy Spirit. Which is this. Are you ready? This is you. Help me out now. You're already in the body of Christ. Oh, this is great. This is great. You're born again. Okay? Now you're saved. You're born again. It might have happened 30 seconds ago sitting right there. Sitting right there where Greg's sitting, right there. What happens after that? How do we live this victorious Christian life? This position that we have in Christ, because it's true, we're in Christ, in the body, we're of the church. The word in the Greek is E-N. In. We and in. English, I-N. We are in the body of Christ. Now is the Greek word epi. E-P-I. The Holy Spirit, on the day of Pentecost, mind you. Listen, time out. Stop the tape, so to speak. Were the guys and gals on the day of Pentecost in the upper room, believers in the Lord Jesus Christ? The answer is yes. Were they born again? The answer is yes again, based upon John chapter 20. You want to know why? Jesus, after the resurrection, it was the first... If you ever have someone ask you the question, when's the first time people were born again? Answer, John 20. After the resurrection, Jesus turned to them and breathed on them, and they received the Holy Spirit. They were not baptized in the Holy Spirit. They received the Holy Spirit, and those guys were born again. The Holy Spirit came inside them, dwelt in them. E-N. But on the day of Pentecost, those believers who had the Holy Spirit in them, guess what happened? The Holy Spirit, E-P-I, came upon them. And that's this. Technically, it's overflowing. Okay? What happens when the Holy Spirit comes upon you? It is the power of God that comes upon the believer to do His will in your life. And listen, not only in your life, but to do His will in this community around you. Now, you know the difference. When a good brother and sister who loves the Lord on their way to heaven does it in the arm of the flesh, it just doesn't happen. They try really hard. You throw a lot of money. You know, things will go a long way if you throw enough money at it, but it won't last. You can throw money at it. You can put a lot of sweat at it. It just doesn't last. But if the Holy Spirit is in it and upon it, what's offered up, He takes it kind of like two fish and several loaves of bread. And the Spirit of God takes what little bit we have, like boys with a little lunch bag, and He's able to feed the hunger of a community around us. How does He do it? Because we are completely open to the filling that is the Spirit coming upon us to, Lord, do whatever You want to do. That's how we walk in the Spirit. And it's a liberating way to live. Whatever your vocation is in life, as a Christian, your vocation becomes your calling. Are you a contractor? Then watch God use you as a Christian contractor. If you're filled with the Holy Spirit, or we would use the term perhaps baptized by Jesus, regarding the Holy, baptized in the Spirit, filled with the Spirit, baptized in the Spirit, immersed in the Spirit. Watch what happens on the construction site through and by your life. You know what a good day is, Christian? Is at the end of the day, that contractor lays his hammer down at the end of the day or gets in his truck, starts driving home and says something like this, God, thank You for rocking the site today and using me. Wow, Lord. Oh, and you know what? You are high all the way home. Drunk on God. And I'm telling you, it is the only way to live. See, I want to live like that. When was the last time you asked the Lord to baptize you or fill you with His Holy Spirit? Personally, I don't leave home without it. I don't leave home without Him. See, I thought you know, He's living in you. Yes, He's living in me. He will never leave me or forsake me. But I don't want my feet to hit the ground without me saying, Lord. Now look, you guys know me by now. For those of you who are visiting, you're either going to run out of this place after tonight, or you're going to learn a lot about cartoons, Looney Tunes, and Daffy Duck. Because for me, that's kind of how I see my life and life. And if you know me, I don't take things too seriously other than the Lord. And even that, the Lord is working kind of weird things in my life. When He talks to me, I just feel kind of like a weird thing. It's between me and Him. When He talks to me, I see like a big trumpet coming out of the sky talking to me with big lips and the thumb. Okay, and you know, it's the way it is. My life is kind of like the cartoon in my head. I probably should see a doctor after this service. But when I wake up, before my feet roll off the left side of the bed, I just say, Lord, here I come. And I ask You to just wrap me up now. And when I pray that, when I see that, when I say, Lord, just fill me up, I see in my head, it's the way I see life. I'm stepping out of my bed and I'm seeing water come up and just come squirting out of the top of my head. And then, I mean, I'm not kidding. That's just the way that my mind works. And you do too. You think like that. Don't tell me you don't. On Monday we went to the Colorado River to play in the water. And we went, and a bunch of us got in the water with our vests on, and we floated for 2.5 hours down the river. And we were just bobbing along. And there were big thunderhead clouds, you know. And these were grown adults saying, there's Mickey Mouse! Look at that cloud. There's Mickey Mouse. There's a dog. And I'm looking, and I mean, I got a quite vivid memory. I'm thinking, dog? I don't see a dog. I see a clown. Well, nobody saw the clown. It seemed like everyone who saw a cloud saw it individually as they wanted to see that cloud. Very rare, you know. I mean, oh, we all agree. Do we all agree that that looks like a, you know, a mouse? Think of the Holy Spirit when you say, Lord, I ask You to fill me this morning to overflowing with Your Spirit. Give me victory in my Christian walk. And Lord, I know You're faithful. When your feet hit the ground, quick, 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 along. As the Spirit will live and move out of your life. Now listen. Growing as a Christian, Acts 1:4. And as they were assembled together with them, Jesus commanded them to not depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which, He said, you have heard from Me. For truly John baptized you with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Do you see the difference? In 1 Corinthians 12, Jesus, the scripture there, we are baptized into the body of Christ. Now here Jesus tells us in Acts 1 that we'll be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. And He was referring to Pentecost. Listen to this. The reality of it is found in Scripture, of course. Luke 1:15, that is the Spirit coming upon you for power. In Luke 1:15, the Scripture says, For he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and he shall drink neither wine nor strong drink, and he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost, even from his mother's womb. There, Scripture is referred to and promising the power of the Holy Spirit, both in the life of Jesus and in the life of John the Baptist. Luke 1:41, And it happened when Elizabeth heard that the greeting of Mary, that the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. Then she spoke out with a loud voice, saying, Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. Luke 1:67, Now his father, that's John the Baptist's father, Zacharias, was filled with the Holy Spirit and prophesied, saying, Blessed is the Lord God of Israel, for he has visited and redeemed his people, and he has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David. He prophesied by the power of the Spirit. Not only is that reality found in Scripture, listen to the power of it found in Scripture. Acts 2:4. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and in this case, they began to speak with other tongues as the Holy Spirit gave them utterance. Acts 4:8. Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, Rulers of the people and elders of Israel, and he began to preach. He began to speak with power. Acts 4:31. And when they had prayed, the place where they were assembled together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. And I love this verse. And they spoke the word of God with boldness. You know what this means? It means that before the filling happened, they did not speak the word of God with boldness. How many of us want boldness in our lives? If you don't want boldness, you know, you're not doing very good. Aren't we constantly? I am constantly bummed about my lack of boldness, and I'm crying, God, please give me your boldness. Please give me your boldness in this age and for this day. Be filled with the Spirit. Have the boldness of God. Acts 9:17. And Ananias, when he went his way, entered into the house and laying his hands on Paul, said, Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared unto you on the road as you came, has sent me that you may receive your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit. Acts 13:9. Then Saul, who also was called Paul, filled with the Holy Spirit, looked intently at him. And Paul began to minister, filled with the Holy Spirit. Many times we're paranoid to minister because we're not trusting in the fact that the Holy Spirit is going to work in our lives. And church, are you guys okay? You're so quiet. You guys, this is so important because you know what? You can tell when there's a Spirit-filled greeter and when there's not a Spirit-filled greeter. You can tell when there's a Spirit-filled parking lot servant and when there's not a parking lot servant Spirit-filled. You can tell when the pastor's Spirit-filled and when he's not Spirit-filled. You can just tell. Acts 13:50. Says, but the Jews stirred up the devout and honorable women, that is in a bad way, and the chief men of the city, and they raised persecution against Paul and Barnabas and expelled them out of their coasts. But they, that is Paul and Barnabas, shook off the dust from their feet against them and came unto Iconium, and the disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Spirit. I love that because you know what? No matter how the day goes, if you're filled with the Spirit, it's going to be a victory. Listen to this. I love this. Jot it down. If you didn't jot any other verses down, jot this one down. This is wonderful. Ephesians 5, beginning at verse 18. Paul, again speaking to the Ephesian believers, he says, and it's a commandment, by the way, do not be drunk with wine. The word in Greek is an interesting word. It means stop being drunk with wine. He tells them to stop it. You know, people say, well, you know, can you drink and go all that stuff? You know what? That's an interesting thing because you have some people, some churches. I was at a grocery store one time and I saw the minister of that other church buying shopping carts full of liquor. And I'm thinking, what is with that? Interesting. Well, what's the deal? Well, here's the thing. Just cut straight to the chase. If you're a Christian, well, you know, can I drink or not drink? I'm not going to answer that question for you. You've got to talk to God about that. However, I know this. The Bible says you can't stumble anybody. And the Bible also says you cannot become intoxicated or influenced by it. So go figure that out with God. And you work that out. What's interesting is Paul says to the Ephesians, stop it. Well, how come? What's with you, Paul? Listen to what he says. Allow me to paraphrase in this sense. Don't come under its influence anymore. For what reason? Don't be drunk with wine in which there's dissipation. You know, that's a great word. You're gonna drink it, you're gonna get under its influence, and then you know what? You're gonna sweat it out and you're gonna go potty and it's gonna flow out, and then you ain't got nothing. That's what he's talking about. You're going to go, whoo, and then Paul says, what do you do that for? It's not lasting. It's a joke. He said, look, but be filled with the Spirit. And the word in Greek is be constantly filled, but be ye filled over and over and over and over and over and over again. Totally different than being baptized into the body of Christ. Remember, into the body of Christ once and for all. Right? But the Spirit over and over and over and over again. How often? As many times as we ask. By the way, listen to this. When we ask for purpose. We ask for reason. In other words, you can ask the Lord to fill you, to baptize you, to empower you with His Holy Spirit, and you intend to do nothing with it. You're not going to notice any change in your life because He knows you. Lord, fill me. Yeah, that Wednesday night service. Cool. Power? Huh? Oh, I'd like to have that. How much is it? Oh, I'd like to have that. Okay. Go. He's not going to do that because you don't intend to do anything. Think about giving a sword to a five-year-old. I'm talking about a real sword, not a stick. He'll kill himself with it. You don't give a sword to a child. God will not give the empowerment unless there's a vision, unless there's a ministry. You say, well, wait, Pastor Jack, I want Him to give me the power and then I'll go out into the ministry. You know what? It goes from Old Testament to New, the same story over and over again. God told Moses, put your foot in the water, get going. Moses could have said, hang on, wait. Why don't you part it first, and then I'll go. There's no faith in that. Moses went to the water, they started to go. What happened with Joshua? The priest had to get into the water and then departed. Same as with us. Well, I know, the Lord's got to fill me up, man, and there's got to be like sparks flying out of my ears before I sign up for anything. Guess what? You will never do nothing for God. Because you know what? You will not take the chance to trust Him. You won't step out on Him. You won't believe Him and take Him at His word. Step out, He gives you the power, so He gets all the glory. So, Be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms. Here's the fruit of being filled with the Spirit, by the way. Speaking to one another, psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, singing and make a melody in your heart unto the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Be constantly, over and over again, filled up. Luke 11 is one of the best verses, and we'll end with this before we have some questions and answers, and we're out of time. Luke 11 says, which of you, Jesus is speaking, which of you having a friend would go to him at midnight and say to him, friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread. Notice it's at midnight. Hey, can I have 3 loaves of bread? For a friend of mine has come to me on his journey, and I have nothing to set before him. And he will answer from within and say, do not trouble me. The door is now shut. My children are in bed, and I cannot rise up and give to you. Get out of here. You can have it tomorrow, but not now. I say to you, though he will not rise and give to him because he is his friend, yet because of his persistence, that his friend keeps knocking, come on, just 3 loaves. He will rise up and give him as many as he needs. Why? To get the guy off the doorstep. Get out of here. Here's 3 loaves. Get out of here. That's negative. Verse 9. So I say to you, ask and it will be given unto you. That's interesting. Jesus is saying, look, be persistent. In a sense, in a way, nag God on this point of the Holy Spirit. Constantly, constantly ask, 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 ask. So I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened unto you. And again, it is in the Greek. Seek, keep seeking. Knock, keep knocking. Ask, keep asking. For everyone who asks receives, he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks, it will be opened. If a son asks for bread from any father among you, will he give him a stone? What's the answer? No. Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent instead of a fish? Answer? Not unless he's twisted. Or if he asks for an egg, will he give him a scorpion? No. If you then being evil, or being dense, being human, if you then being human, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Isn't that great? So, we will do this, seeing how we're out of time. We'll have all of you have the opportunity to ask one question. And that one question is, Lord, will you fill me with your Holy Spirit? You say, well, I don't know if I want to do that. Well, then just keep struggling in your Christian existence. But I know some of you have come from denominations and backgrounds. You've never even heard of such a thing. And yet it's right there in Scripture. Well, what's going to happen to me? I'm going to fly around the room? No. Some of you go, shucks. Listen, we're going to have the prayer elders come forward and stand here. Pastors, come forward, stand here at the base of the altar here. And you don't have to come forward. You don't have to come forward to have them lay hands on you and pray. But it is biblical. You can sit right where you're at and say, Lord, I just ask you, listen, to fill me with your Holy Spirit with power. And Lord, I ask you now, as I just heard in Luke 11, I ask you to give me your Holy Spirit with victory, strength, and power as a believer. Now look, you pray that prayer, and I want you to be aware of something. I want you to start watching and looking for the gift or gifts of the Holy Spirit to become active in your life. Every believer has at least one gift of the Holy Spirit. Watch for victory over sin and temptation. In the next 2 or 3 days, something might come into your life and someone's going to say, hey, how about this? And you're going to go, no, that's okay. And you're going to go, wow! I can't believe I was so strong about that. I have a conviction about that. Why? Someone's going to say, hey, why are you a Christian? Is that your car? Do you drive a Christian car? Is that your car? Yes. And instead of trembling, oh, yes, I'm a Christian. Please don't ask me any questions I don't know. Say, yeah, I'm a Christian. You have a question? And you're like, ah, on the inside. And the Holy Spirit says, that's okay, I'm here. Let the guy ask. Do worms yawn? You'll know the answer. I don't know the answer to that, but God will give you the answer. And you'll be able to answer. You'll be able to answer. The Holy Spirit, and Jesus says, take no thought in that moment. The Spirit of God will speak through you. How does that happen? Filled with the Spirit. And you'll be able to speak with conviction. And the things that you've been learning all these years or months or days, God will bring up to your memory. Why? It's such a rush. It's like, I knew that, but I'd completely forgotten it. It was out of my mind, and then it came from some well way back here out of my mouth, and that guy, and it answered his question, and I walked away. I mean, he walked away with his questions answered. I walked away saying, God, you're awesome. Have you ever had that happen in your life? It is the best. Man, that's the only way to live. How does that happen? Be filled with the Spirit. Are you ready? Let's pray. Prayer elders, come on forward. Father, we come and Lord, we're thankful that you didn't leave us alone to hammer out this Christian existence. Lord, your word tells us that we are more than conquerors. And if this night any brothers or sisters see themselves certainly very less than a conqueror, they love you. They love your word. They're going to heaven. But the truth is, they would have to confess there's not much power. We pray now, Lord, that we would believe you at your word. You said if we ask, you'll give. Those of you who are, I encourage you to come forward for prayer, but you don't have to. Those of you who would like to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, the filling of the Holy Spirit right now, you receive, just as you've heard tonight in Luke 11 and in Ephesians 5, you ask Him. So in your own words, where you're at right now, or maybe you'd like to come forward, and that is awesome, and you should do that. These brothers and sisters will pray with you, and you just ask. And you say something like this: Lord, fill me with your power, baptize me with your strength. And Lord, cause me to walk in victory now. And Lord, cause me to be dependent every day upon you. Church, I'm going to ask you to just pray right now in this moment. And in the silence of your heart, you ask Him. Some of you come on forward. It's a great thing, too, to have the hands laid on you and prayer be offered up and you ask.